God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you. From God the Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation this day is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 13. Jesus being tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, why did God make his book so large? That a lifetime of digging into the details cannot mine them all. Do we ever question the value of weekly worship, diving into the details of this book? After all, I believe in Jesus. Isn't that enough? Isn't the Bible just a little bit of overkill? Jesus once said, "Every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Jesus himself says that this book of details is a treasure trove of wisdom and blessings, details for you and me. A woman once wrote an article in a Christian magazine where she indirectly touched on the importance of the details of God's word. She wrote something like this: "My husband and I were Christians when we met in college. We wanted to honor God in our lives, but when we got engaged, we rationalized that intimacy would be okay. We were not yet married, but we were going to be. We made it to our wedding day without getting caught. All seemed good. 7 years into our marriage, we were on the verge of divorce. In an effort to save our marriage, we went together for counseling. Only then did the root cause of our struggles surface. We did not trust each other to be faithful. The reason? We recognized that prior to marriage, we had been willing to ignore God's will regarding intimacy. And we didn't trust each other to listen to God after our marriage. Not until we together had confessed our sin before God and received his forgiveness could God begin to build the trust we needed for our marriage to survive." My friends, the devil is in the detail, isn't he? Always working to destroy our relationships between God and others. Which is why the Spirit of God, every week when we gather, gets us into this book of many details to remind us that when Jesus came, his job number one was to destroy the devil's work in all of its details. Which is where this account takes us today. After all, Jesus waded right into the detail. The Gospels tell us that as soon as Jesus was baptized to begin his ministry, he received the Holy Spirit, and immediately the Holy Spirit led him into the desert, into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. He waded right into the darkness of our sinful condition, without being sinful himself, taking on the devil face to face. Now, why? He would suffer hell for you and me to give us life eternal. Wasn't that enough? Why would he someday submit himself to being whipped with cords that would rip open his flesh? Why would he have to be hated by his own people, literally spit upon, and then treated like the lowliest criminal? Why? Wasn't the suffering of hell enough? And so why do we find him here in the wilderness at the will of his Father, fasting for 40 days, isolated, hungry, tired, tempted? And at the very end, with nothing left in the tank physically for Jesus, and with the weight of his crucifixion waiting 3 years down the road and weighing down on him, and with the knowledge that our salvation was totally wrapped up 100% in him personally, why is the devil practically invited to come in, hoping for what he thought would be deja vu? I've seen this before. Mankind will fall again. Just like with Adam and Eve, I will distract Jesus from his goal. I will take his eyes off his Father, and he will ignore his Father's will, and mankind will fall again. Now, if you and I wade into the darkness, invariably we come upon the lies and the half-truths of the devil. Do you remember Jesus' warning to us about our adversary? He said, when he lies, he doesn't say if the devil lies. He says, when he lies, the devil speaks his native language, a liar and the father of lying. When the unbelieving world speaks on things spiritual, when the Christian church says things that God does not say, the devil is at work in the details. And you and I remember how the devil works. We've looked at these before. A series of lies. He disguises himself as something good. He creates doubt as to what does God really intend for us. That he flat out disagrees with God and opposes him. And then he creates for us a deception that somehow God is trying to harm us, that God is not being loving. And then he creates in us a desire for things that are not God. And then he fails to tell us about the destruction that always comes when you and I eat of the tree yet again. And the devil was hoping for the same results as he approached the weakened God-man, Jesus. You know, the devil tends to come at us where we are weak and when we are weak, trying to catch us off guard. So with Jesus. Jesus' hunger was real. He is truly man. The devil hoped to pull Jesus into pride. So easy to do with us. But to pull Jesus into pride by attacking him in his deity, even as he pulled at the very real hunger. And so he said, If you are the Son of God, assert your will. Make some bread. Come on, man. Where is the love of this Father of yours? And then there was Jesus' dread of the cross that was very real for both of his natures, the human and the divine. He had come to be tortured and to be separated from his Father for you and me, something that you and I can't even begin to imagine. But he came to do that to save us, and that he might rule all things as the source of eternal life for all who would believe in him. So the devil, as the pseudo-ruler, one of his half-truths, the pseudo-ruler of the kingdoms of the earth. Came to Jesus and in an instant showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, all this has been given to me. If you but bow down and worship me, assert yourself, show yourself to be God, I will give it all to you without the suffering. And the third temptation, in my mind, was just dirty pool on the devil's part. Using Jesus' own words against him. Again, he attacks Jesus' deity, questioning why Jesus won't assert himself as God. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this temple. After all, isn't this temple yours? And aren't these words spoken to you? He will command his angels to guard you carefully. Prove your mettle, Son of God. Play the role. Come on. But again, we come back to the question, why? Wasn't hell and the cross enough? Why would he someday allow himself to be accosted, assaulted, abused, hated, demeaned, discriminated against, as though he was the lowliest, most worthless being in his own creation? Well, the answer seems twofold. And the writer to the Hebrews helps us out. The writer says, we do not have a high priest, our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. We do not have a high priest unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we collectively are. Yet he did not sin. Jesus had to keep the law of his Father perfectly for us to save us. Every bit of it, every piece of it. And so the devil would have been pummeling Jesus every day with temptation in every way. You and I, especially at times in our lives, we know that pummeling of temptation. And what a comfort to know that Jesus understands it, what it feels like. And Jesus proved his mettle as the Son of God by always listening to the voice of his Father and never doubting the obedience that it would take from him to save us. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And so he took it all. And then the writer to the Hebrews adds this thought. He had to be made like us, fully human, in every way, to become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. Jesus suffered the worst that the devil and the evil world can bring at us so that he can personally and credibly speak into our own struggles, our own suffering, and in mercy advocate for us before his Father in heaven and strengthen us in our every need. And then there's one last reason why he allowed himself to go through this trial and temptation. He wanted to teach us how to fight. Now, before we say, yeah, it's about time. Come on, world. Jesus, we're here for you. Come on, world. Come on, devil. Put him up. Put him up. Put him up. Come on. We're here to fight. Just like in the old days, right, Jesus? When you walked the earth. And Jesus smiles and he says, yeah. Just like when I was here and walked here. Remember what Jesus said when he wrote his self-defense manual for all of us to read? Remember this? You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, well, hand over your coat as well. This is definitely not a put him up kind of Jesus. If you and I would respond in kind to the world's evil, who would there be to be different and break the cycle of evil and of hate? And how would anyone ever have a different example than getting even and getting revenge? But note, Jesus does not tell us not to fight. don't fight back. He says this in Ephesians 6. Take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so Jesus modeled for us in this account as he took up the sword of the Spirit and defeated his enemy on the field of battle, sending message to the devil that he would destroy him at the end of the 3 years, and that he would give to us the gift of eternal life through faith, even as Satan was cast down to gloom and punishment. But my friends, even Jesus did not come out firing the big guns or shooting 5,000 rounds at the devil. Listen to what he said. It is written, man does not live on bread alone. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Part of me used to say, Jesus, can't you do better than that? The devil is dissing you. Why not at least a lightsaber along with those words? Well, got to rein that back. How about this? How about some of the words you had used on Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Or how about the grand words that you gave to David before Goliath? You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. But think about it. Jesus had no reason to call on the name of God because he is God. And the devil is like a dog on a leash that God only allows to go so far, and all it took from Jesus was a word. And with Peter, Jesus' words to Peter, well, he's passionate for his friend and his friend's safety, and he's passionate about the integrity of his mission. And so in that instance, we see a bit of Jesus' heart for us and for the gospel. But what a comfort for you and me to know that we don't need like 500 passages up here to stand before Satan, that we don't need to have some psyched up vibrato to take on the devil. What we need is a simple word, the name of Jesus. Jesus, help me. And maybe we use his own words, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus, my Savior and my God. But almost more important than the words of God in those moments of facing evil is the trust in God and his plan. Think about it. Wouldn't Jesus have had every right to set the record straight? Oh, Satan, you know that I am God and that I am your creator and that I can turn these stones into bread, and so that you may know and not forget. Or Satan, adversary of mankind, that you may know that my Father loves me and all people and that I have his back. He has my back and I have power. I will leap and he will save me. Better yet, Jesus could have set the record straight with but a word, and the serpent, the snake, would have been quivering at his feet with Jesus as his master. But that was not the Father's plan. Crushing Satan without saving you and me. The Father planned that Jesus' perfect life would replace the brokenness of the Garden of Eden. That Jesus' perfect death would absorb hell for you and me. Satan would be crushed in the Father's time. But Jesus was not free. He did not have the right. He had come to listen to his Father. He was bound to the plan. Now, do you and I ever find ourselves tempted to doubt God's plan when we are facing evil? Is the sword of the Spirit really intended for every detail of my life? A true story that is happening right now in real time. I'll call the man Keith. Keith loves his wife. And I can only imagine the devil accusing God of injustice right now to Keith's face. You see, Keith and his wife had tried to share their love by having children, and for a long time, God said no. Fertility treatments, A leap of faith, three embryos, three daughters, triple baptism, triple birthdays year after year. Great joy. But then it seemed that God turned off the faucet of his blessing. A spot of cancer on his wife that would not be defeated. An online journal so that family and friends could be aware and could pray and hope and trust. Tough symptoms to hear. Even tougher treatments to hear. Yet stories of the blessings of God woven right in. Christmas cookies put into the oven with fun and laughter for one more year. A family Easter dinner celebrating Jesus' victory over sin and death one more time. And then one of the most heart-wrenching, dress shopping for a prom that mom will not see. But her three daughters will oh so remember. I imagine Keith sitting in the hospice room right now as I speak, a bit in his own wilderness, tired and hungry for spiritual food and comfort, isolated from his support network in the darkness of the night. His beloved wife right there, near yet drifting and soon to be out of his reach. What nastiness is the devil bringing his way? Where is that serpent striking in Keith's weakness? Yet from the journal entries is this amazing truth that the Spirit of God is lovingly and faithfully placing into Keith's hands every day the sword of the Lord of the salvation of our God. Moments of question replaced by perseverance of faith. Moments of anger replaced by confident trust. And personal thoughts replaced with the words of God and his people. I know that my Redeemer lives. And on the last day, he will stand upon the earth. And in my flesh, I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. You see, my friends, Jesus came to destroy the devil's work, all of it. And so Jesus waded into the details of the darkness of our lives and of our suffering, always listening to his Father. Because we don't. And then God crediting that obedience to our account. Always listening to his Father and keeping his eye on the prize so that he did die for our sins. And so that his death to life became our death to life. That we have received a new day with new hope that evil and this world and Satan can never take away. You see, my friends, the devil is in the details. So Jesus lived and died in the details, too, for you and me. And then he had the Spirit of God write this amazing book filled with details. And today, by God's grace, we have read, so Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, went into the wilderness for you and me. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus.